And kind of let me start off by saying a thank you to everyone. You know, all your support, your words of encouragement concerning Christy, I really appreciate it. And if I don't seem like I appreciate it, I'm sorry. I'm just really tired. I didn't sleep today. I couldn't do it. I tried, but I could not do it. And I knew if I did sleep for a while, then I'd be miserable again tonight at the hospital. So I thought, well, I'll just be super tired and I'll actually sleep in that chair they got there. But I do appreciate everyone so much, your kind words and your prayer and all of your support. All right, we are continuing our sermon series. If you want to open up to Proverbs 6, we're looking at the seven things that our loving God hates, seven things that are an abomination to him. And I really wanted my power. I made a PowerPoint on this that I thought would be really helpful. But see, I even grabbed this out of habit, but the PowerPoint's down. And so we're just going to go with it. And basically, if you remember what we've been talking about, and so this is our third. And I think I've developed this. I think I want to do six lessons in this series. At first, I want to do four. But now I want to do six. And if you remember, as we began the other two, what we're going to carry through with all of these is start off being reminded of who our loving God is. And the more and more we can know that and understand that, we're going to love the things that he loves, and we're going to hate the things that he hates. And that's just part of our maturation process. And every lesson we've looked at so far, and we're going to continue in this, is be reminded of such passages like Romans 3 and verse 26, that he is the justifier, right? He is just and the justifier, right? And he's allowing the sinful, that's you and I, to be treated just as if we've never sinned, right? Justified. And that's just who our God is. And again, in Romans 8 and verse 32, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That's who our God is. That's his great love for us. And he loves us with that great love. And we need to love the things that he loves and hate the things that he hates. And so here in Proverbs chapter 6, let's read it together, this list again, beginning in verse 16. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look and a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. And so the seven that we're looking at here, and remember Proverbs, it's all about these two choices, righteousness and wickedness. Let me read this to you real quick back in chapter 3. Before we continue. So chapter 3 of Proverbs, beginning of verse 32, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Right, and so we get this contrast throughout this book here, and of course what we're looking at in chapter 6, between the wicked and the righteous, right? Making that right choice. And so we have this list here of these things that our loving God hates. They're an abomination in his sight, right? And so they need to be an abomination in our sight, right? And when we are guilty of these things, that's our carnal nature, our fleshly desires, giving into that, whether it's a proud look or lying tongue, and so on here in this list. Now, originally last week, I told you we're going to look at the next three in this one lesson, but I lied to you. We're just going to talk about lying tonight. And because I was doing the study, doing the work, and I thought, you know, this is worthy of a full lesson, talking about a lying tongue here. And I got a couple interesting quotes that I found concerning lying. Interesting to me anyways. Groucho Marx once said, quote, there's one way to find out if a man is honest. Ask him. If he says yes, you know he is crooked. Right? Now, I don't know if that is completely true, but it does impress the point
that the abuse of the tongue is something that plagues all of us in one way or the other. You know, it'd be my guess that most folks need a tune-up in their own personal lie detector. So here's a study that was done a few years ago, a study done about lying. Survey of people on the topic of lying, 91% of those surveyed said they lie routinely about trivial matters. 36% said they lie about important matters. 86% said they lie to their parents. 75% lie to friends. 73% to siblings. 69% lie to their spouses. Now, I wonder, as they're taking the survey, if they're lying, right? You know, can you trust these numbers? I don't know. But the survey stated that most people lie to others once or twice a day and deceive about 30 people per week. And the survey said that people lie in 30 to 38% of all their interactions. A survey of college students, 95% said that they are willing to lie at least one lie to a potential employer to win a job. 41% had already done so. You know, so who lies? According to, you know, several accumulated studies, men lie more than women. Young men lie more than older men. Unemployed people lie more than those with jobs. Socially skilled people tell more lies than people who are socially unskilled. Children with lower IQs tell the truth more often than, now this is their study here, their wording, than healthy, intelligent, well-adjusted kids who learn to lie. You know, I don't agree with, you know, the terminology necessary here, I guess, but, you know, knowing when it is appropriate to lie and bend the truth is part of a broad array of social skills. So that's them speaking there, not me. And children who are the most believable liars tend to have a lot of friends and become the leader of the pack. So what kind of lies, different kinds of lies are there? You know, I like a quote from Abraham Lincoln. He said, how many legs does a dog have if you call the tail a leg? And he says, four, right? Calling a tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. And I've always enjoyed that quote, right? And we all know that a lie is an untruth. It is something told to deceive. But there's different kinds of lies that may not be so easy to recognize. But we need to remember this from Revelation 21 and verse 8. Right? This is the word of God. But the cowardly, notice the list here, what's all thrown in with liars. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Right? And so this is where I really wanted my PowerPoint and all of this, the kind of list I made. So the different kind of lies that we tell, that we might find, the twisting of words, right? Making a person say something he did not say. The twisting of truths, right? A clever wording to make a lie out to be fact, right? Peter says that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, and say some people are taking Paul's words, taking scripture, and they're twisting it. Next, shading the truth, right? A perversion of facts, half truths, right? Part of truth, disguised as the whole truth, right? Leaving out facts. I believe is lying. You know, when we know the truth, you know, we're not uttering with words, you know, a lie, but we're holding back information for the purpose of deception. That's a lie. Well, let me just mention this other part of this list I got here. For the sake of time, I can't define every type of lie. There's so many. You know, misstatement of fact, right? This is just straight up lie. Right? You know, telling your mom, no, I did not steal the cookie from the cookie jar, right? Just straight out lie. bodily movement. Well, here's an interesting one real quick, since we're here in Proverbs, same chapter. Proverbs chapter 6, you know, bodily movement, you know, a wink, a nod, the shuffling of the feet, a smile of deception. Look at verse 12 in our study chapter. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers, perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. Now we're going to talk about that coming up here in our list next week. He sows discord, therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy, right? So that's part of life. Then you got slandering, you've got gossip, right? We're going to talk about gossip here in this list probably in a couple weeks from now. Be reminded of Proverbs 16 and verse 28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. Exaggerating, right? And I know some of these, I'm going to, you know, kind of put my foot in my own mouth, you know, when we're going to talk about white lies here in a second, you know, but, you know, I get it sometimes. You know, I went fishing and I caught a fish that big, right? All of us men have done that, okay? And we're, you know, we're doing it to be funny. We're not literally saying we got to, you know, so, you know, there's a certain part, of course, you know, a little bit of harmless joking, I guess. But some people exaggerate in things. And it is deception. Accusations based on only circumstantial evidence. And I think we do this more often than we would like to admit. You know, this is where we judge others by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. You know what? I think that's self-deceptive. You have insinuations, inference, innuendo, silence. Again, you know, withholding information, especially if it would clear someone that's, you know, being treated as guilty in a matter. Suspicion, flattery, quotation, and white lies, right? And
white lies are basically black lies that a hypocrite tries to whitewash. So let's talk about white lies for just a moment here. Right? These are the so-called, you know, harmless lies. You know, so therefore the acceptable lies. And so here's a list someone compiled on white lies. Lies to boast or exaggerate self. And I think these are probably the most common. Lies told or repeated in gossip. Right? Now, gossip can also be true. But we have no right to share that information. Again, we'll talk about gossip a little more in this sermon series later on. But many times gossip is, you know, information that develops and it grows. You know, when you're a teenager, you do the phone tree, right? You whisper and they whisper. By the time you get to 6, 7, 8, 10 people down the line there, it's completely different, right? And so that's part of it also. Lies told in order to simply say something to pass the time. You know, forgetting Matthew 12, verse 36, right? We're going to be held accountable for every idle word that we speak. And I know contextually there it's talking about not confessing Christ, but I think the principle's there also. And then the substitution of a quick lie for a lengthy explanation one might otherwise have to provide. For something not worth spending time on. Now, what's wrong with lying? Well, of course, it harms a person being deceived, right? Nobody wants to be deceived, you know, even in trivial matters. I think it lowers the value of that person that the liar is deceiving. And, you know, in these lies that they accumulate and they can do damage. Lying is addictive and it can grow in size, right? Many times you hear about certain individuals getting arrested. It wasn't the crime that got them arrested. It was a cover-up,
right? You hear a lot of that with, you know, politicians and what have you. And of course, we're talking about lying, we have to mention politicians. You know, and of course, the most important thing, lying is wrong simply because God says it's wrong, right? We don't need any other reasons. Lying is absolutely wrong in the eyes of God. So telling a lie is always wrong. You know, even though the truth can be cruel sometimes, you know, and people can be cruel telling the truth. Absolutely. A lie is a lie, and a truth is always truth. And we as Christians, we are told to deliver truth in a loving manner. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. You know, some actually use that as an excuse not to tell the truth. Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, I don't want to make them uncomfortable. Listen, if you love somebody, you're going to tell them the truth. And you know, you need to have the right mindset and the right attitude when you're telling them the truth. You know, we tell the truth to people that we love. And, you know, listen, when you need to share a hard and difficult truth, right, pray about it first. You know, use the right tone of voice. You know, a soft, loving, caring voice. You know, show them that you care for them, and be humble when you tell them. You know, we tell the truth to people that we love. Now, the Bible describes many kinds of liars, just to name a few. Anyone who adds to God's word, right? Proverbs 30 and verse 6, they're a liar. Right? Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Again, Proverbs 30, verse 6, you add to the word of God, you're a liar. The Bible describes the man of lawlessness, or the man of perdition, or son of perdition, depending on your translation there, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. He's a liar. You know, there were prophets in the Old Testament who prophesied lies, were dreamers of false dreams. Jeremiah 5, Jeremiah 29. You know, religious frauds, they're the worst kind of liars, right? Because human souls are at stake. Next, you know, one who says, I know God, but does not obey his commandments. He's a liar. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Next, one who denies Christ is a liar. Same chapter, verse 22. Says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Now, Antichrist, when you read it here, that's plural. Antichrists, right? It's not one individual in some unnamed future, right? It's anybody that's against Christ. That's literally what the word means. So anyone who's against Christ is a liar, right? Well, who's against Christ? Well, those who don't obey his commandments. That's an antichrist, right? We're surrounded by antichrists. And so keep that in mind. You know, one here, 1 John chapter 4 in verse 20, one who says he loves God but hates his brother is a liar. Not my words, but God's. Right, verse 20 here, chapter 4, 1 John. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So you can say you love God, but hate your brother. Well, you're a liar, the Bible says. So next, why do we lie? Why do we lie? And here's a list, another list that I made here. Lies are self-serving, right? Self-serving in a lot of ways, you know, boost ego, gain favor from others, you know, get others to think about us in a better light, maybe making others feel better about themselves. Maybe in our minds we do it, we want to protect others. You know, something interesting, you know, if you've ever heard the phrase, an insult to call someone a cretin. If you look in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, cretins are always liars. Right? So even back then, they had a reputation as a people for being such liars that they're famous for it. Absolutely famous. So much so that we're still calling people Cretans today, you know, over 2,000 years later. Right? So they had such a reputation for being liars. And if you're a liar, right, it's going to catch up to you. It will absolutely catch up to you. Some people lie just out of habit. You know, some lies are so common that some people don't even think twice before speaking them. Right? And just out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus says, the mouth speaks. Right? So what's going on the inside that's either going to cause truth to come out or lies? Right? So if lies are constantly coming out, well, there's a heart issue going on. Right? You got to look deeper. We're going to take care of those heart issues. You know, some people lie to be polite, and people think that lying is permissible under two conditions. It doesn't harm anyone, and it helps promote a good cause. And so people think, you know, I'll just call them white lies. You know, it's permissible. It's not hurting anybody. You know, and it'll bring about good things. It'll make people feel good about themselves. Sometimes, next, we lie out of laziness, convenience, to avoid people or tasks we don't like. Right? Now, before we say that's not us, you know, does this sound familiar? Well, it used to be more so back before cell phones, when there's only one house or one phone in the house and the phone rings. Hey, if that's for me, tell them I'm not here. Right? Or someone knocks on the door. Hey, if that's for me, tell them I'm not here, right? You know, just things like that. Or your boss wants you to work on your day off or on the weekend or something like that. And you, well, I can't. You know, I've got a dentist appointment, or, you know, just things like that, you know, coming up with reasons just out of convenience or laziness. Some people lie just to make themselves look better to others, right? These are the lies that the lies of Ananias and Sapphira fall under in Acts chapter 5. Some lie to protect themselves from embarrassment or disapproval. You know, I like the story about a preacher once told his congregation, you know, next week I plan to do a sermon online, and I'd like everyone to read Mark chapter 17 for preparation for that sermon. Well, then the next week comes and stands up before the congregation and says, hey, raise your hand if you read Mark 17, and a few hands go up. Can you see the problem there? Right? There is no Mark 17. And so he just grinned and said, I will now begin my sermon on lying. Right? That's one of those things. You know, Cain lied to God. When he, you know, of course, God was using accommodative language. He knew what happened to Abel. He said, where's Abel? He said, I don't know. Right? He lied to God. Adults deceive for exactly the same reasons as children, to save their own skin or to get something that they can't get by other means. Some lie to protect someone or spare another's feelings. Some lie to cover up their shame, like Potiphar's wife lied to her husband about Joseph. And there in Genesis 39, some lie in order to get money. 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman, when he was healed, dipping seven times the River Jordan, he wanted to give Elisha all kinds of money. For that, Elisha says, no. And so, of course, he leaves. But then Elisha's servant, Gehazi, you know, follows him down the road and said, hey, Elisha changed his mind. You know, he wants some money and some clothing. And so he gave it to him. And, of course, God knew, Elisha knew, and Gehazi ended up with Naaman's leprosy. Sometimes silence, again, can be a lie. And here's one personal story that in my past, it just sticks to my mind. When I worked for the probation department in Tulare County, California, kind of had this control room, and one of the probation officers, a peace officer, came in, brought his lunch, and he went to Wendy's. You know, and he opens up his lunch, starts eating, and he's talking. He kind of waves some money. He's like, hey, I gave the girl a 20 in the drive-thru. She gave me change for a 50. Ha, ha, ha. Right, and he's kind of, you know, that's theft. That's deception. That's a lie, right? And so, silence can be a lie, right? The honest person say, no, I gave you 20, right? and that always kind of stuck with me. Some lie to gain advantage over another. Genesis 27, Jacob lied to Isaac, you know, to get that blessing. Some lie to persuade another to do something that they want. 1 Kings 13, an old prophet lied to a man of God. Some lie to gain position, power, and prestige. You know, politicians, right? They tell us one thing before they're elected, and then they're elected, and then they're like, what? Right? They're liars, many of them. You know, there's a reason why we connect lying to politicians. And so those are just some things to think about. And, you know, I know we kind of giggle at some of this, but before we finish this topic on the lying tongue, we got to remember that God hates a lying tongue. There's very serious and deadly consequences for telling lies. You know, Solomon said that an ungodly man there in Proverbs 16 and verse 27 had words in his mouth as a burning fire. That fire soon gets out of control and sets a whole life on fire. And here's how James says it, James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Lies cause wars, break up families, corrupt politicians, right? Destroy Christian fellowships, right? Split congregations, subject innocent people to punishment for others' lies. And listen, again, there are consequences for lies. You might get away with it right now, but in the end you won't, unless you rectify, you know, the lies that you've said. Proverbs 12 and verse 19 says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is just but for a moment. And so now both Old and New Testament tells us clearly, it clearly shows God's severe hatred of lies. So let me just go through this list here. I'm running out of time. So liars will be caught, right? The wise man actually said, a false witness shall be punished. Proverbs 19. A false witness shall be punished. In verse 15, and he that speaks lies shall not escape. Right? And the psalmist says the same thing. Liars will be stopped in Psalm 63, and liars will be silenced in Psalm 31. Liars will be cut off from the fellowship of the righteous, Psalm 101 and verse 5. Liars will perish, Proverbs 12 and verse 19. And again, in Proverbs 19 and verse 9, liars shall perish. And then what we read earlier as we began the lesson, the end for liars is the lake of fire, Revelation 21 and verse 8. And so as we finish up here, I want to think about one more thing, and the lesson is yours. You know, the results of believing a lie is very serious. Right there, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12 says God will send them strong delusion. Those who want to believe the lie, they want to live a lie, believe a lie, be surrounded by lies, God's going to send them strong delusion. And we need to understand that Galatians 6, 7, God will not be mocked. Right? Whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. God will not be mocked. An unknown author said, one may work with his hands and serve in the Lord and worship with his heart, yet allow a loose tongue to close the doors of heaven. The Bible speaks in several places of deceiving ourselves. Right? We deceive ourselves if we hear the word and do not do it. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, we deceive ourselves if we're religious, but we have not bridled our tongue. James 1 and verse 26, we deceive ourselves. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin. In that same chapter, verse 10, we're calling God a liar if we say we have no sin. We cannot live in self-deception either. And the truth of the matter is that The gospel is the only answer to save. And we'll end this lesson by extending the invitation to those who've never obeyed the gospel. If there's someone here, if you've never put on Christ in baptism, if you haven't clothed yourself with Christ in baptism that saves you, tonight's the night. And you're doing that with a responsive faith, of course. You choose God, you love God, you're willing to confess Jesus, you believe who he is, John 8:24. Willing to repent of your sins and all that and reenact his death, burial, resurrection, and water. That's the call. Do not live in a lie. Do not deceive yourself so you think you're the exception, that you don't have to do that because you're just a really good person. Right? Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself and say, I don't really have a sin problem. I'm a good person. Don't do that. Right? For we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we can help you with that, we'd love to do so. Or maybe you've done that and along the way you lost your way and you're self-deceived. Right? You went back to a lifestyle of sin. You're like, no, I want to start over. I recognize that. I admit that. I humble myself. I want to start over. We would love to help you in that journey. Or if you just need strength or encouragement, let someone know as we stand, as we sing.